welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Paul Angelonis.
I'm jinxing it every time I come here.
Philippe is back in the studio with me today, and we're going to talk about the heart and what it means to love God with all of your heart. Yes. And as we were just preparing and talking to each other before we went live, it's just there's so many things to be said, and it's amazing that we can even talk about this idea of loving God because God first loved us, and we can respond and we can reciprocate that love back to Him. But getting to know God, Roger and Lizzie yesterday talking about the love of God and that God is love and that this love that He has and who He is, it's outside of creation, and it's such a fundamental concept about how we get to know Him. And maybe we can think about the heart, thinking about loving God with all our heart. And what do you have to say, Philippe, to open us up about this loving God with all our heart?
Yeah, I think it's I mean, it is a big part of our lives as a Christians, right? So what we'll be talking today is a few things that are connected to that. The first thing we have to realize is that the opposite of loving God with all our heart is having a divided heart. And what does that mean? And how, you know, how it is easily done, you know, like how we easily fall into that trap, you know, of having one foot in and one foot out, you know. And it's not like we're not trying to make a point about legalism today, okay? Well, let's make that clear on the outset of today's program. Like, we're not interested in setting up metrics. What does it mean? You know, how can you check that your, you know, that how can we check that your heart is, or this is the how-to of how you know you're fully committed to God?
Yeah.
Because we're in the flesh, then there's zero commitment. Impossible to know. But when we're in the spirit, and then we walk with God, then what does it mean? How does it show? What are the consequences, you know, having a life that is fully, you know, in that way, like heart is fully committed to God? And despite our shortcomings, we understand that. So we're not trying to set up how-to or metrics that will allow us to look at ourselves and others and say, well, this is what it is, you know. But the Bible gives us a lot of things and encouragement about living God with our full hearts. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today, right?
Yeah, and maybe it just since we're talking about the heart, maybe we can just define that, yeah, or just say, like, what is that? What is the heart of man? And thinking about that in, you know, humanity, we have the material part that makes us who we are biologically, cells, skin cells, hair cells, you know, bones, muscles, tendon, all those material things that make us who we are. But then there's an immaterial part, yes, of man that we cannot, you know, discount. We cannot, you know, say that it doesn't exist, because this is something that we all have. We have our thoughts that are think, our emotions that we feel, these things that exist, our decision-making that we make in our mind. And looking at the heart, it is that innermost part of man. And there's a definition that we use in the biblical psychology course that just kind of covers all the bases as it relates to the heart. And I'll just go through that definition real quick so we can have that. But it's like the premise for all motivational thinking. Why the motivation behind what I'm thinking, the premise for that, like where it starts, the supreme center of communications for the decisions of the will, thoughts of the mind,
yes,
and appropriations of truth, and then it's the center of operations for behavior. So like the decisions that I'm making in my will, the thoughts that I think in my mind, how I appropriate truth, how I determine what is true and what is not true, what I am motivated by, like why I do the things that I do, and why my behavior is the way that it is all dependent on my heart, where my heart stands, how I, in my innermost humanity, in the inside of me, the deepest part of me, where is that sourced? What is its anchored to, if it's anchored to something? And from that come all these different things. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. My life is going to be dictated based on where my heart stands and what my heart is associated with and where these things come from. And we're going to talk a lot about the different things my heart can be anchored to or not anchored to, where there can be deficits in that, and that can, that will flow into the way that I love God with all my heart, or if I have division in my love for God because of a inappropriate or maybe a deficit motivation that's going on in my heart, or a concept that's that I was raised in, or something that's been forced on me, I could say, where I have a misunderstanding of the love of God and also my innermost person, who I am at my at the foundational part of me, where my heart is. So that's the definition of the heart. And I think from there, we can kind of relate to these other different aspects of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Loving God, like making decisions. And like you said, we're not going to say, this is how you love God with all your heart. Step one, do this. Step two. But there is my heart being rightly related to God,
yes,
is something that's fundamental to, yes, me loving God in general.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also, yeah, very much so in the way that, first, the Bible does say you have to love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your might, depends on the translation, then your heart and then your mind.
Yeah.
So when we're said that in the Bible, that means that God cares about this.
Yes.
And that's what we're asking today. What does it mean? You know, through, I think the whole week is really dedicated on what does it mean to love God, right?
Yeah.
And today our topic is loving God with all your heart.
Yeah.
Which if the Bible mentions it, you know, it should raise our interests in that way. We're looking at this and say, okay, well, when the Bible says that, what does it mean for me? You know, and then, sure, what does the Bible say about the heart in general? And you gave a very good definition, and I'm gonna do a side, you know, advertisement / commercial at this point.
Yes,
if you want to have that that definition, we are, you know, I mean, maybe people don't know, it doesn't matter in that way, but I also direct Grace Publications, which is attached to Greater Grace Will Outreach, and we just finished a few weeks ago a project of a biblical dictionary, mm-hmm, and it's coming out hopefully before Thanksgiving. So maybe we'll get it tomorrow. And if we don't get it, it will be on Monday. Will it be? But it will be for sale on our, you know, website. So I think it's just maybe we'll put it in the comments or whatever. But ggw.org/store.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great tool because there's many, many definitions in there that's going to be super helpful,
yeah,
you know, for anyway. So, yeah, I mean, the commercial is over. The advertisement is over.
Yeah.
So, if we ask this question, we have this question in front of us. What does it mean to love God with all our hearts, right? With your heart. Why does God want us to love him with our hearts? What do you think it means when we ask these questions?
Well, I think our heart, like we said, like the innermost part of who I am, what makes me who I am, why I do the things that I do, feel the feelings that I feel, all of these things. And, you know, I think we've said this before, that in Ecclesiastes 3, God has put eternity in our hearts. And I think originally we had a heart that was rightly related to God, a heart that we loved God with. You know, at the creation of humanity, when God made man, there was a relationship, there was an association. Mm. And then in Genesis 3, we had this separation, this decision to disobey God that, you know, kind of, we say this in biblical psychology, that a hole was put in our heart, in the heart of man.
Yes.
Where there is something missing in his heart, and only God can fill that, but man spends his time trying to fill that hole with other things. And I think something we have to think about in relation to learning how to love God with all my heart is recognizing my heart without God, yes, my heart that is a, you know, has a defect. I have a hole in my heart, yes, and there's something missing. And in that, my life is, you know, the things that I do, decisions that I make, feelings that I feel, there's something, I know there is something more, and I'm trying to find out what that is. I'm searching for answers to questions that I can't find, because God is the only thing. You know, we know that God is the only thing, but like, there's different examples of this in Jeremiah 17, that the heart is deceitful, desperately, yes, wicked, who can know it? Isaiah talks about the whole head is sick and the heart is faint. And then also in in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus lists all these things, yeah, that flow out of the heart of man, that it's not the things outside of me that defile me, but it's actually the things that are inside my, yeah, heart. So I think in order for us to love God with all our heart, we need to recognize that our human, natural human heart, our natural propensity is not to love God with all our heart.
No, it's not.
It's to love ourselves, yes. Really, and to take those things that are in our lives, relationships, my career, money, possessions, you know, whatever it is, and to try and use those things to fill the hole that's in my heart. And I keep, you know, that the hole just keeps it's an endless pit that I'm just throwing these things into, and I'm still searching and searching and searching. So my heart is something that at first I need to realize in my natural, in my human experience, my old sin nature, my humanity, there is something missing. And I need something beyond my humanity, beyond creation, which is that love that can only come from God, that is who He is, and that is not changing, and is actually a perfect fit for the hole that's in my heart.
Yeah, I mean, that's I really want to go back to what you're saying. This is really awesome, because that answers the question: why would God want us to love Him with all our heart?
Yeah,
because of that shape that you're looking at, the hole, you know, is in the heart. So unless we feel it properly, or it is filled rather than us feeling it, it is filled properly, then there's always some leak in there, you know.
Yeah.
And Blaise Pascal, who's a very famous French philosopher and mathematician, he said in one of his books called Thoughts, it's a collection of thoughts that he had through. It's very enlightening, a very, very good book. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's in English as well. But he says something similar. He says that God, there's a hole in the heart of man that is in the shape of God.
Yes. Yep.
And what I like about this, I don't know if you had that when you were a kid, but I see kids doing this today. It's one way to help young kids when they're really small develop understanding of shape and space. It's you have this box, right? Mm-hmm. And you have all kinds of different shapes, a square, you have a round, you have a star, you have a moon, you know, croissant, mm-hmm. Croissant moon. And we're trying to teach them how, you see, when you take that cylinder over here, it goes into the ground. And when you go into, so when you look at this, sometimes some of those toys, and I remember having this when I was younger, because, mm-hmm. you know, you grew up and then you remember, oh, I've seen this, you know, since I was a kid, that I don't play with it anymore. But what's interesting for me is that some of those maybe, like if you take, if the cylinder and the square have the same, you know, size, which means the cylinder, the diameter is the same as the side of a square, mm-hmm. you can take your cylinder and put it in a square. It fits because it's smaller.
Yes.
And I think, but when I do put in there, what I have is it, because it's not the right shape, mm-hmm. then it can fit in there, but all the corners are empty.
Are empty, yeah.
And I think this is what he means by that. It has the, it has the shape of God, and even if I fill it with great things, okay, mm-hmm. like let's say I have everything I really would want. My life is perfect. I got a great family. I got a great marriage. I don't even have to work anymore because I made so much good money. I have good friends. Mm. I have three houses, one for the summer, one for the winter, and one just for fun. I have whatever I wanted. There is something missing in there because all these pieces don't fill up the heart completely, the hole in the heart completely, because it has to be in the shape of God, to use Blaise Pascal's explanation. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it goes back to what we're saying. No one, God is not asking us to love Him with all our hearts because He needs it.
Yeah.
He's asking us to do it because we need it.
Yeah.
Like if my hole needs to be filled, it has to be in the right shape.
Yeah.
And only God can fill that. So God is not like, okay, well, guys, I'm God, you gotta love me because, you know, it's like, well, yeah, no, I think if you love me with all your hearts, it's gonna take you out of your self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. And then this is gonna help you, you know.
Yeah, and I think I can't help but think of like, yeah, God loves us because we need it.
Yes.
That's such a good, because like we can, like God can love us and we can accept His love and we can hold on to His love. And we can, in Jeremiah chapter 2, I think it talks about cisterns with holes in it.
Yes.
So we could take God's love and we could put it into our heart, the cistern of our heart.
Yeah.
And then I'm not reciprocating that love. I don't have a heart that's, you know, that is complete. I still have this defect, maybe. And I take God's love and I don't understand it completely. And that love of God, I misunderstand His love. So I don't love Him back, and I try to apply it other ways. And then that love of God, that my misunderstanding is actually leaking out of my life. And it's like, okay, I don't actually know what God's love is. because I have a misunderstanding of it, or it's been explained to me in a wrong way, or my life has been different, or I don't see his love. So I think I know what God's love is, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to feel that, because that could even happen too, where like I think, oh, God loves me, and because he loves me, I need to do these things in order to prove that I'm worth his love.
Yes.
You know, like I need to earn his love. And then I do the things that I do, and I make mistakes and I fail, and then I feel less and less of his love because I'm trying to earn it or trying to keep up with his love, which is something that I think is a human viewpoint of the divided heart, like you were saying before, where we have made love contractual in a way. Where I love you because of this, this, and this. And we take that idea of, you know, contractual love, where I am reciprocating based on the benefit, you know, to me, or lack of benefit, and my love goes up and down depending on the benefits or the negatives of our relationship. And we apply that to God, saying that, well, this bad thing happened to me, so that must mean that God doesn't love me as much as I thought he did, or that God didn't bless me, so I'm not going to love him as much as maybe I did before, because he's not blessing me like he used to, you know? And that can, we talked about that with like false gospels and things like that, where we can have this contractual relationship with God. But I think in loving him and receiving his love and experiencing his love, we can be that way too, where we have this contractual type of give and take, you know, is something that is used in marriage or in relationship advice, that a relationship is give and take. And I don't really like that, you know, terminology.
Yes.
Because it's actually not what a relationship or what love really is. It's really a give and give. And God gives us the perfect example of that, that he loves us and he gave himself. And then as a result, we love him and we give ourselves, like in Galatians 2, where we lay down our lives. So I think like... Yeah, this is the human viewpoint, the way that we view love in our human relationships, and maybe misunderstanding or not really understanding God's love towards us, it can keep us from really experiencing the fullness of what it means to love God with all our heart. Like you said, he loves us and we love him, and we can experience that fullness of his love by having our heart, you know, really getting the fulfillment of our heart. There's no hole any longer. And that's, you know, in Ezekiel 36:26, where we're given a new heart and a new spirit. And what does that look like? And how does that change our relationship with God, or our ability to love him with all our heart when we have a new heart, or we have that fullness of a heart that's rightly related to God, or we have this transformation that happens in our life.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were saying at the beginning. And we're not trying to give metrics or set up like some kind of a legalistic idea.
Yeah.
Like if God gave us a new heart, which is Ezekiel 36, as you were saying, then there you go. It's I either put on Christ or put off Christ, and I'm in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So loving God with all our heart is not some effort or January 1st, you know, resolution I have to make that falls on me, you know. As a side note, just I find this very interesting. You know, most people don't realize that, you know, if I use that illustration with the seniors in high school, you know, we talk about decisions, you know, and say, well, how long do you think most, in average, most resolutions last, you know, in a year? And then we're going to say, well, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, in average. Well, the average is 17 days. And, you know, when there were surveys done on that, it means that out of 52 weeks in a year, the two first ones you're doing okay, and then you mess up the rest of the year.
Yeah.
This is us in the flesh. Like, if my goal is it's on me to find a way to love God with all my heart, then it's like, I'm not going to put on Christ. I'm not going to put, you know, leave in the new heart. I'm going to leave in the old man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to complete, you know, that loving. And that's exactly the idea of, you know, when Paul says that the Jews or the Pharisees, they have zeal without wisdom or without knowledge, you know, in Romans, I think it's Romans 4. And the point here is so interesting, because it's the idea that, okay, we're going to take God's word and we're going to be zealous about it, and we are not even connecting to God. And that's, for me, that's a very definition of legalism, is that we take everything from the word of God and detach it from the heart of God, and it becomes our mission.
Yeah.
And having a life of loving God with all our heart is not a work in that way. It is receiving what God has done and just living in it. Like, if I put on Christ, then guess what? I'm dressed. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to. Mm-hmm. So the idea of, and that's what you're saying in Ezekiel 36, if we have a new heart, then we don't have the one with the problem of an empty heart with a hole in it. It's mm-hmm. filled, mm-hmm. you know, and living in that way, this is what the Bible says, living God, loving God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength.
Yeah.
That is not complicated to do. It's something that God gave us yeah. what he needs, what he requires.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we can, like, comparison falls into play. It's like, well, I love God with all my heart.
Yeah.
And this guy doesn't love God with mm-hmm. all his heart because he doesn't do this, 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 and this. Yeah. It's like, it's a personal, intimate, it's something about your relationship with God yeah. and something in your heart towards him. Your behaviors, your thinking, your emotions, all those things being associated and recognizing and responding to God. And in that, you know, in receiving the love of God, we talk about this. This is basically biblical psychology class, yeah. it seems. But in that, you know, God loves me and I accept his love for me, then I am secure. And then in that love, and me loving God, then I experience my significance.
Yes.
Right? So then I am whole and I am complete. I am secure in who God, in the love of God, in who I am, who God made me to be, and I'm also significant. And those are like two of the main things that people are looking for in life is security, to feel loved, and to love someone. Like, and that's where that is sourced. And God has put that in our hearts as human beings, and we're trying to find it in other places. Like, I can love someone else, another human being. We use that terminology. I love you with all my heart, right? And do we really mean that we love them with everything that is within us, or do I love them until they make me mad, or I love them until they do something against me, or they betray me, or they cheat on me, or whatever it is. But in this fullness of this relationship with God, we can love him with all our heart because it's no longer in our natural man, but it's just in response, and it's in the newness of this eternal life, this eternal relationship that we have that really is not us doing much. It's just responding to yes. what God has yes. already done. So I think like that comparison, the comparison between loving God and loving other people, maybe we can talk about that, just like the how that can kind of... we think that we can't love more than one thing.
Yes.
With all of our heart.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that is true. I think it's we can.
Not. I don't think it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, you know, God, we can, loving God with all of our heart doesn't keep us from loving other people with all of our heart or yeah. loving people, you know, to the fullest extent, but it actually makes it possible for us yes. to do that. Right.
Yeah. When you and I were talking before the show this morning, we're just saying the human mathematics or God's yeah. math are not the same.
Yes.
We look at our lives as pie charts. You know, I got 100% of which is my 24 hours. I'm going to take 7 of those hours, which is, you know, like 30% or so, mm-hmm. you know, for sleep. And then, you know, I need to eat and I need to wash and I need to do mm-hmm. my chores. Then I got to go to work. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I have 3 hours left for my family, which is about 12-15%. And that's all I have, you know, and then... Mm-hmm. And then we look at our lives in that way as a pie chart. And I think I was challenged a few years ago when we had our international convention here at the church, where one of our visiting pastors from Romania, Pastor Mihai, he said something interesting about this idea of having, you know, like a different way of seeing our lives. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't share my love between my family, my church, my ministry, and God. I love God 100%. And I love my family 100%. I love my ministry 100%. Mm-hmm. So when I'm serving God in my ministry, you know, I don't know, I'm preaching, I'm serving God 100%. When I'm with my family, I'm with their 100%. So mm-hmm. I'm not sharing my time. I'm not sharing my thoughts. I'm not sharing my heart. And I took from that, and I think it's relating what we were saying.
Yeah.
That it's a different math. And that spiritual math or God's mathematics mm-hmm. allows me to actually have a different kind of love. Because if I do love God because mm-hmm. he first loved us, that's 1 John 4. We don't love him because we're good people. We love him because he first loved us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we love him. And he first loved love means he's not like, okay, I love you. I love you and I give you my love. Now we have God's love. So the love that we have naturally is not the same the love that we have because we love God, right? Mm. So that changes the way we see. I don't have to see my life as a pie chart. I can love God with all my heart. And that means, because people say, well, God is first, family second, church is third. That's a very human metric. Mm-hmm. I can put God first, and God asked me to put everything else, you know, in it doesn't have to be ranked. Of course, yeah, we understand when this is God first, but God is not asking us, okay, you love me first, and we'll see about the rest.
Yeah.
He does say, seek the kingdom of God first, and the rest will be added unto you.
Yes,
but that's about, you know, possessions, you could say, or blessings.
Yes.
But then when it comes down to the math we're talking about today, if I love God with all my heart, I have room for everybody else. Because if I have God's love, then it's unlimited.
Yeah.
And I don't have to pie chart anything in that way. And I love this idea. I think it really helps me understand that I'm not hyper spiritual. Oh, you don't understand. I'm serving God, because how easy it is for us to serve God, quote unquote, and actually to get away from our responsibilities or our families. That's not a good metric at all, you know.
No, for sure. And yeah. I think that, yeah, that's such a good point that, you know, you're 100%. The only way that you can do that, the only way that you can love anything else 100% is to have, like, God's, to experience God's love and to have his agape love that he's given us. And we try to maybe see that love or fabricate that love or mimic that love and whatever it is. And we try to, you know, our time and our space and the way that we interact with people and do the different things, we try to a lot, like you were saying, I only have so much love that I can give.
Yeah.
So I got to pick and choose who I'm loving and who I'm giving to. And I think that that's, you know, and then the comparison comes into play with that too. Well, you should give your love to this. And the best way to show that you love something is to spend time with it or give your money to it or do this or that. So it goes up all, it goes back to that contractual type of experience of love where, like, well, you've got to show me what this love is. And the best way to show me is through these criteria. But, like, I can love something 100%, and like you're saying, through this love that God has given me, the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart makes it possible for me to love all of those things without limit, yes, with the eternality of who God is, the size of who God is, and the fullness of who he is. And it makes it, like, it's a different experience when I love something because God loves me as opposed to loving something because of the benefits or the lack of benefits that it gives me, right? When I am loving my spouse, my wife, because I'm significant and secure in who God is and his love for me, then I'm not trying to, like, force her to give those things to me, right? Because that's the human viewpoint or the natural way of looking at relationships is the give and take idea, is that I love them and they love me. So because my wife loves me, I'm secure, and because I love my wife, then I'm significant. But in those in that relationship, I am relying on another human being in order to give me my security and my significance in my life. Or we could say it in a, you know, not only those types of relationships, but my job, my career, the things that I have. I love my car, and my car loves me. You know, you could say, like, people could have that. Or I love my job and my company, and my company loves me. But then I'm basing everything, I'm basing my life on something that's not eternal, something that can change, something that is able to fall apart. And with that falling apart, so goes my security and my significance and everything about everything I've stood on, right? The man who builds his house on the sand versus the one who builds his house on the rock. The winds come and they blow, and in my relationship with my wife, where my security and significance is sourced, the winds come and they blow. And if she's depending on me and I'm depending on her and we both fall apart, then there goes our security and significance, and people's lives fall apart because they've been looking for that security and that significance in something that is not secure and not going, that's something that's going to change, that is fragile and that is frail, as opposed to God, who will not change. And this love that my heart can be based on, that I can love him with and reciprocate. And he has shown us what this love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and laid his life down for us, right? He showed us what it means to love him. And he shows us, and in that same way, he shows us what it means to love other people.
Yes.
Like, my love is not that I feel warm and fuzzy and I feel like there's this maybe attraction is part of the initial, that initial thing, but actual decision, covenantal, promised love, love that I have with somebody that is beyond just the feelings and emotions. The deepest, innermost part of me is something that I can only get when I have that relationship with God and I have His love in my heart so that I can give it to somebody else and experience that in a real way, and knowing that I am secure in who God is, because human beings, the things that, that we put our confidence and our security and significance in outside of God, there's the potential for them to fall apart. And in so doing, in those things falling apart, our lives, our security, our significance falls apart. And that's, then I go on searching again,
yep.
You know?
Yeah, and that goes back to what also we were talking about before the show today, was the idea of contractual love, right?
Yeah.
This is, we have this contractual, I'm trying to say it properly,
contractual?
Yeah, whatever you're saying it better. The idea that we have a contract, this business going on between God and I, you know, and then we
agreement,
yeah. An agreement of like it's it, you. I like the idea of when I look at the Book of Job, that's what I see. In some, I'm not, you know, there's more to see, but I mean, there's one thing that is very clear to me, at least when I read the Book of Job, is that Job has this idea of his relationship with God. He's everything, you know. He, you remember. So he's right in his eye. He does everything perfectly. But of course he doesn't, in a way, because God is going to speak to him for four chapters to put him back in his place. Mm-hmm. And I think legalism, or wrong idea of what it means to love God as a contract, yeah, gets us into a place where we have to be wakened up by God in the idea. Mm-hmm. And you see that he has a contract because he does everything properly. And when he, in case his children mess up, then yeah, he has extra, you know, sacrifice he's going to offer. And as a joke, I was saying, it's, which is, you know, like he's almost like he's getting the best insurance possible with the best premium possible with, yes, zero, yeah, deductible. He, yeah, wants everything covered, you know. And then he goes around and his friends come in and they question him and says, well, there's nothing to question. You know, what are you talking about? I did everything perfectly. I want my audience before God so I can explain to him what is wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing. But then there's something else that we find in Luke 7 when Simon invites Jesus in his house. And we have, you know, mm-hmm, Mary who's going to wash Jesus' feet, and Simon is outraged completely because he's in the contract mode. You know, this is the, she has done nothing for God. She deserves nothing from God, mm-hmm, and like me, you know. So, and then Jesus tells him the story. Well, we have this guy, you know, who owes a little money, and the other one owes a lot of money. Both have been forgiven. Which one we love the most? And of course, you know, Simon gets it right. Yeah, the one who has been forgiven much.
Yeah.
And we could see this as loving God with all our heart as a contract. I've been forgiven much. I owe you so much. Yes, I have, yeah, to love you with all my, yes, heart.
Yeah.
Not at all. He says those who have been forgiven much love much. They don't do much. They love much.
Yeah.
And that's a response based on thankfulness. Mm. I'm so grateful for the great salvation that I have in Christ. And I can only see this if I know how messed up I am in the, yeah, flesh. Yeah. If I think I'm a great guy, then of course, meh, you know, why would I accept, if you throw me a life jacket when I fall into a puddle, I'm going to look at you and say, you're really, that's, I don't, yeah, need that. Are, yeah, you, yeah, kidding, yeah, me? Uh-huh. But then if I realize I was 2,000 miles away from the coast, mm-hmm, and I was found and somebody sends me a life jacket, you think I'll take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
And how thankful will I be? You know, I will mock you if you send me a life jacket in the puddle.
Yeah.
I will be at your knees if you send me, and you know, if you end up to be by accident, you know, with your sailing just pass by me and you, mm-hmm, save my life, I would be so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh, you and I have a contract. You didn't pay anything. I didn't owe you anything, but I have this sense of relationship,
yeah,
because of what you did for me. And I think this is what the Bible says. So we're not loving God because we owe him.
Yeah.
We love God because we are thankful for what he did. And now this loving God with all our heart is a protection for us,
hmm,
not a requirement in the sense that you guys, God says, I deserve this, I want this. No, yeah, it gets us again out of our self-centeredness, and that just, that is, and that puts back God back on the map.
Yeah, and it's so interesting in like seeing people interact with people, there is this, you know, innate sense of loving and caring for other people that, mm-hmm, we want everybody to have, right? Yes. We want the world to be a better place and everybody to care about each other. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to give a life jacket to somebody. Mm-hmm. Like that is, you know, you could say basic human understanding.
Yeah.
They could say like that's what makes us human is we see somebody in need and we give them a life jacket. Or we see somebody that's in trouble and we help them out, right? But that only comes from this love that God has put inside of us and put in our hearts as a response to him. Like in Matthew 22, where it's talking about Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy, like loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophet, all of the Torah and the prophetic books, all basically the entire scriptures hang on the love of God, mm-hmm. is what Jesus is saying. And we as human beings, we want to have the result of loving God without actually loving God.
Yes.
We want to show, we want people to love each other, but we don't want them to do it because they are responding to God, which is really the only way that can really happen. Because I am not, I am in the other, on the other side of it, I am self-interested, I am self-centered, I want to do what is best for me. Mm-hmm. And because we have those ends of the spectrum where, okay, yes, people are amazing and they love other people and they help save other people, they go into a situation, they do what is right. You know, but then there's so many examples of people taking advantage of other people or doing things that are not beneficial to other people, but only beneficial to them. So it's an interesting to see how, you know, we kind of look at those positive interactions mm-hmm. where people love others. You know, maybe they're not loving God with their whole heart, but they're expressing the love that maybe God has put in their heart. And then we have people that are very self-centered and are willing to do whatever it takes to put others down in order for them. So that's an interesting, you know, dichotomy or the ends of the spectrum for this interaction from of human, the human viewpoint of this is what we really want, you know, and we could be, you know, look at other people and say, you need to do more of this, or you need to, this is how humanity should function and should be. And we agree. I would agree with that. We should help each other. We should lay down our lives for each other. But why should we do that? Because I would want somebody else to do that for me. That's like the, like, I want to make the world a better place so that other people can have it better than I had it, or so that it can be something, it can be, I can leave the world better than I found it, is something that people might say. But like the reality is we want to people to do that because it's an expression of the love that God has put in their hearts. And yes. It's an expression of them loving God is I'm loving him. And in loving him, I'm also loving my neighbors. I'm also loving the people that are the unlovely. I'm also loving my enemies, those who have come against me. And it's not contractual, like you said. It's not just because it benefits me or because I want to make sure when they're in trouble, or when I'm in trouble, they remember. Remember when I gave you that life jacket when you were in the middle of the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm collecting payment. I want you to return the favor for me because that isn't love. That's, you know, the obligation or, you know, the law really is I'm doing this and you owe me because I have done this thing. But it's an interesting that viewpoint of we the world should be this way. And God has said yes. The world should be this way, and this is how it's possible, by loving me and then loving your neighbors. And that's, you know, the early church had, you know, having all things in common and caring for one another in that way, and how God made man to have dominion over the creatures and creation, and how our self-centeredness, our eyes, opening our eyes and taking what we see is best for us has kind of disrupted that. But God has given us to love him with all of our heart is a way that we can to love everybody and love our neighbors. And that's such a blessing that in that love that we receive and we reciprocate back to him, we can have this fullness and this life that's everlasting and eternal.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's in a way what we're saying today is this is the consequence. These are the consequences of loving God with all our hearts.
Yeah.
It's not, again, it's not like a, we said it many ways, but it's not a contract. It's not like God says, well, I saved you from the dump of hell, the pit of hell. So you owe me to love me and love me first.
Yeah.
And only in that way. And that's, I think it's, well, yeah, we, but God loved us first and we love him in return as being thankful, not a contract. And that relationship gives us the love that people need, which is agape love, not just the natural love.
Yeah.
And this is so important. And when we understand this way, then we think differently, we live differently, we relate to people differently. And because it is not based on a contract. Like if I've learned something from God in that relationship, then I take that love that him and I have in that relationship and I bring it to others, people relationship, then they are not contractual either in that sense, right?
Yeah. And these relationships that we have are a result of this new heart that we have. Like we said, I'm loving God with all my heart, and it starts with me recognizing the evil heart of unbelief, the deceitful heart, the natural man that exists in me, the sinful nature that I have. And I'm saying, I don't want to love based on that, based on a deficit that I have that you can fulfill, or trying to meet a need and get to this place where I'm filling this hole in my heart. And I want this new heart and this new spirit that only God can give me, that makes it possible for me to do the things that God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. And that includes loving him. It includes loving my neighbors. And it's not out of duty or, like you said, out of a contract based on the line items that I'm supposed to do these things, but based on opportunity, based on thankfulness. You know, it's Thanksgiving this week. And it's like, I am thankful for what God has done for me, for the love that he's given me. And because of that, I am going to love and going to, it says in the next verses of Ezekiel 36, it says that I will put my spirit within, you know, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So that's like you have a stony heart where there's no love there, really. It's only self-centeredness. It's only me, self-preservation. I'm going to take that self-preserving heart and I'm going to give you a new heart that's living and that's moving and that pumps blood or whatever. It's made out of flesh. And it says in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And that's like the opportunity that we have, not the obligation that we maybe perceive. And if we look at it from a different perspective, mm-hmm. I am receiving his love and I am responding to his love by doing the things that he says and following in the path that Christ laid before me so that I can be more like him, which is our goal as believers, as Christians, as human beings, is to be, you know, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and loving him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is this love between them, and that's something that he wants us to experience, the love between the Trinity that we have been brought into in order to experience that same type of love and that same type of relationship is something that only we have as human beings, yes. And it's what makes us different and what's a great opportunity, like I said, an amazing thankfulness and gratefulness that we can have because we have this as a, like we say this in talking about like the existence or the proof of God, like God does not need us, but yes. He wants us, right? He doesn't, we're not necessary for him to be who he is, but he wants us and he loves us and he cares about us. And in that we can learn of him and we can love him with all our heart and see the fruit of that love that we have for him and the other aspects of our life.
Yeah. And what we're at the end, we haven't had really a chance to talk about the divided heart, but there's a couple verses in Ezekiel 11:19. You guys can read that. It speaks about having an undivided heart. And it takes us to the idea of First King 18:21, you know, when we have the story of Elijah. And he asked the people, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? You know, we're serving God and we're serving Baal. And, you know, we read Matthew 6 earlier, you know, about the fact that we cannot serve both masters and God and mammon. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means to have like a full heart dedicated to God. Mm-hmm. And some things are incompatible with God. Like if I cannot live by faith and seek God for what I need and actually work on a plan B at the same time. Either I'm fully trusting God and live by faith, therefore I love him fully, mm-hmm. and I love him with all my heart. But if I have a divided heart, I got a plan B just in case God doesn't come mm-hmm. through. And yeah. that is what Jesus meant by you cannot have both masters, which is God and mammon, in that way. You cannot love money and love God at the same time, because you're looking for the same thing in both. And one is your plan A, the other one is your plan B. And with God, there shouldn't be a plan B. In that, yeah. That's what basically it means. Like my trust in God is full. It does not mean I'm waiting in my couch for money to come in and I don't go to work.
Yeah.
The Bible does say extensively that we have to work for mm-hmm. our food, you know. Mm-hmm. But on the other, it's a matter of heart at this point. You know, if I go to work, and I go to work and I do what I have to do, I'm not looking for to replace God. I'm just being faithful in what God has entrusted me with.
Yeah.
And so understanding what a divided heart is helps us understand what it means to love him fully with our hearts.
That's yeah, just, no yeah. plan B. I'm not like half, you know, I have one foot here and one foot here. I gotta like have both feet in whatever I'm, because am I really trusting God or having faith in him if I have this backup,
yes.
plan, really?
Yes.
It's like, if Christianity is true, then I'll believe in that. And if Islam is true, then I believe in that. And if Buddhism is true, yeah. then I'll just make sure I cover all my bases
yes.
just in case.
Best
so that
premium
I know which
possible,
ones,
yes.
Which in that sense, I'm divided and I don't get the fullness of whatever it is yes. or see the fullness of what God could do in my life. So yeah, that yeah. divided heart, that's a good point to end on. Awesome.
Well, all right.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe to the Grace Hour Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and others. And make sure you check out the rest of the shows this week as we talk about the love of God. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep.